this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. Welcome to episode 51. I am recording this on Monday, November 13th, 2017, while Pippa is at preschool and Julian is napping. If you hear a gentle whooshing in the background, it's not the ocean, it's his air machine. And the birds outside are chirping away, so hopefully you'll get to hear some birds. Probably not, though. You'll just hear me coughing. I have a bit of a cold, a head cold. It's day two of my period, and I've been up since 4:30, because kids. I'm so exhausted, and I know the conventional wisdom is sleep when baby sleeps, and the conventional wisdom might work for some of you, but it does not work for me. I'm not a good napper. I was laying down for the past hour, and I had my eyes closed, maybe dozed a little, or went into just like a deeper daydream state, and I rested, and I do feel a little better having done that. But for me, an hour in the daytime is worth about 5 minutes during the night. It's just not the same quality of sleep. Some people, I think, can do it. I could never be like a nurse and work a nighttime shift. It would just completely destroy me. Anyway, though, yesterday was a great day because Nathan had the kids in the morning, and they slept till 5:30, so I thought I was going to get that again today. Oops, they were up a little earlier today. We've just been struggling with the time change, and Julian out of his crib, and him adjusting to his new big boy bed and sharing a room with Pippa. So, and he just turned two, and I know that there's phases, and there's good phases, and there's phases that are a little more challenging for mom and dad. And we're in a challenging phase with him. He's such an easy kid overall, but goddamn, I need my sleep. And what I want to talk about today, I'm too tired for clever segues, is holiday survival. It's here. It's November. We've already had Halloween, which has kind of been tacked on to the holiday season, but I'm choosing to not be in holiday mode. Like, holidays should be joyful and about celebration and time with loved ones and creating memories. It shouldn't be a death march to like a Pinterest-worthy moment being captured for social media. Like, and I was at Target yesterday with Pippa, and I had this like vertigo moment because we were going down the diaper aisle, and at the end of the aisle, there should only be clothes. And we get to the end of that aisle, we've got Julian's nighttime diapers and all that jazz, and then suddenly there's all these toys and oversized stuffed animals. And I'm like totally displaced. And I could not figure out what was going on. And then it was like, oh, they've prepared for Christmas. This is like where the clothes are for Christmas. And this isn't going to happen this episode. I can now tell because Julian is saying mommy in his sleep and getting up. So I don't think I could do this episode with a sidekick. But maybe he's just rolling over in his sleep and he's going to go sleep more because he really needs it. He is not getting enough sleep, poor kid. So these are my holiday survival tips for you. Since the season is here, you have to meet your needs first, your basic needs. There's Maslow did his hierarchy of needs back, I think, in the 50s. And I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes. And at the base of the pyramid are physiological needs like air, food, water, warmth, and sleep. You gotta meet those needs first. You don't get to prioritize having a perfect Christmas tree that belongs on the cover of a magazine over sleep. Or over drinking water. You have to bump those things up over a holiday. The thing that I have to keep reminding myself is that holidays come every year. There is always next year. So if you have a newborn or you have a 2-year-old going through some sleep challenges. For example, me. You gotta just live with that and prioritize that over something on a calendar that's been over-commercialized. I speak from the Christmas perspective. Even though I'm half-Jewish, we've never been a Hanukkah family. There was the year that my mom bought us ant, and people bought me an ant farm, and the ants were dying, so we celebrated Hanukkah so the ants would survive, but really we're a Christmas family. And so this could apply to other holidays. I just know Christmas and Thanksgiving. But I just want to say that you have to, like, that it's okay to say Christmas 2017 is on the back burner. It's okay to say we're just not prioritizing this. You can put your mental health and your physical health first. Getting enough sleep. I don't want to this year be awake at like 11 p.m. wrapping presents, because I have like these expectations of the gifts have to be wrapped a certain way, and they have to be like not in the bags, but they have to actually be in the paper, because it's more exciting for the kids to rip off the paper. Or if that's something that I actually want to do, I'm going to have to eliminate other things and say it's the Saturday a week before Christmas, and I am going in the room and locking the kids out, and Nathan's in charge of the kids during daytime hours, and I'm taking the hour or two or whatever I need to wrap gifts, because my sleep is a priority, and I can't put the holiday above my sleep. I'm not going to let Christmas take away from my sleep, because when I don't sleep, I don't have my mental health. I am not a good person today. That sounds like I'm like a serial killer, but I don't have my patience. I wasn't even yelling at Pippa this morning. I was just talking to her in a really mean, bossy voice and not interested in, you know, talking about her feelings when Julian takes a toy from her. I'm just like, look, you're going to come here when I tell you to come here to brush your teeth, and that's going to weigh the way it is. That's just the way it's going to be, or I'm going to throw out toys. And talking in a much meaner voice. I can't be at my best self unless I sleep, so I'm not going to let the holidays take away from my sleep. So that's my biggest tip, is to meet your needs first, your basic needs, and the thing that's always on my mind is sleep. But it also means getting your food and just doing what you need to feel sane, to feel okay. Don't let something like Christmas on the calendar take you a notch, even a notch below okay. That's not cool. You've got to keep yourself your priority. Holidays can get messy because everyone has their own expectations, okay? And also we're humans and we're not so great at this communication thing sometimes. And you know, someone will tell you 5% of what they're thinking and assume you know the other 95%. Or they'll insist it's okay. And I'm sure you've experienced this before. Humans can suck at communicating. And there can be all of these hidden agendas and unspoken dreams about like what the perfect holiday looks like. And there are other relatives who are excited about your child and are excited about their vision of how they want to celebrate the holiday. And I just want to tell you, it is okay to disappoint someone this year if their expectations do not work for you. It's okay to do that every year. Especially if their expectations might damage your physiological or mental health. Like if someone is expecting you to come to their house for Christmas lunch completely during your child's nap time, and your child is in a bad sleep phase and you know this is going to just fuck all our shit up. You have a right to tell them, like, I'm sorry, this time frame doesn't work for us, hopefully next year. Or you have a right to be like, look, this is the time we could come later, or we could come earlier, but we can't do this time. Like, I know I'm going to have to, like, be really self-aware about Thanksgiving, because we've been given a really broad window, and, like, the meal is being projected to serve at 5, but people are allowed to come over at 1, and I love spending time with my family. I love the long, dragged out holiday gatherings with my extended family, but Julian is a napper, and My goodness, I think this episode might happen. I think he rolled over and went back for the second half of his sleep, for his nap. But he isn't, like, when he misses a nap, it can set the poor kid back. I mean, it's not like, oh, well, he'll be fine tomorrow. Like, it just fucks all the shit up for, like, days and days and days. And it makes him overtired, and it makes me overtired, and it makes him cranky, and we feed off each other. And if he's teething, I mean, he needs to get every sleep minute of sleep he can. So, you know, I really want to go and camp out and spend all day with my clan, but at the same time, Julian needs his sleep. So we may be like, hey, we're showing up at 4. Like, we're going to let him nap, and then we're going to drive across town, and we're going to be there for 2 hours. And, or maybe me and Nathan will have to tag it, or, you know, like, go in 2 cars, because Pippa doesn't nap. So maybe I will go earlier with Pippa, and have it worked out with Nathan, like, you know, you guys leave the house at this time. I think another thing is, I'm going to write this on my notes right now, is to communicate. You have to, I'm really working on communicating better with Nathan, because sometimes, like, I'm the expert here on being the kids' parents, but sometimes, because it's just the amount of time, I'm here, I'm doing nap time during the week, but then I want him, he wants to help on the weekend, but he doesn't necessarily know how I've been doing things during the week. And sometimes I don't want to be that nagging mom, that nagging wife who's like hovering over him, telling him how to do everything. But it's also not fair to him if he's doing it wrong and I'm not explaining, like, we actually need to not let Julian fall asleep for nap time in front of the TV because that, like, messes up routines that I've established. It, you know. So I think I'm going to have to just communicate, work on my communicating over the holidays and, you know, be like, Nathan, I, you know, maybe we have to, like, he has to come later for Thanksgiving. But I will have to communicate with him. Make sure Julian is down for his nap by noon so that, you know, don't let him stay up till 3 so that then he just completely misses Thanksgiving, because that's not what I want. And that's not, then it messes up his bedtime, and then it messes up, and then we just feel it for days on end. I think, and as I talk this out loud, I really need to set a better schedule. And I think part of the holidays for me this year is going to be about embracing the holiday part, but finding the balance between, yay, it's a special time of year, but we still have routines. It's so easy to get swept away in the commercials and Pinterest. I mean, you just go to the grocery store and Santa is everywhere, and there's these big red bows, and there's, you know, here, buy an advent calendar and an elf on the shelf, and, you know, start thinking about what stuffing you're going to make. And you go on the internet and there's like 827,000 different recipes for stuffing, and then maybe you want to go gluten-free. There's just so many, like, ways to complicate your life. And something that I'm, you know, I'm 4.5 years into motherhood, and you'd think I'd have it figured out by now, but no. This is something that's constantly changing, and, you know, just 2 years into being a mom of two, and I'm still figuring that out. I think I just have to do a better job of setting routines, which means I have to just get over the fact that sometimes I'm going to tell my kids, this is what we're doing now, and they're going to be like, no, 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 and, like, tough. I'm going to have to listen to some whining, but if always having bath time at, you know, 6:30 works for calming them down and getting us into the bedtime groove, maybe that's just what I need to do. Maybe we have a tough week of breaking TV habits, but, I mean, sometimes we have these great bedtime routines, and then me or Nathan get lazy, and we let one of them fall asleep in front of the TV, and then the routines are just broken, and then the kids want TV, and it just doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like the way I want to be raising my kids lately. So I don't want the holidays to hijack mothering and parenthood. I don't want the holidays to suddenly just eclipse our lives for, like, over a month with all sorts of extraordinary events at different times that disrupt things. And I need to come in with, kids do need boundaries, and I need to come in and be like, I'm still setting these boundaries, and, oh gosh, I'm so tired. But yes, communicating and staying normal, even in like, and you know what, normal is such a loaded term, but staying with your routines, allowing there to be some extraordinary days. But I think our concept of the holidays has expanded so much over the past, like certainly even over the course of my lifetime, that it's exhausting to have, you know, I mean, you don't just have Thanksgiving anymore. You have Friendsgiving, and you don't just have Friendsgiving, but you have, you know, pre-Thanksgiving, or you feel like, oh, we need to make a second turkey because there's all these great recipes for turkey leftovers. And it's like, there's no end to the turkeys. And then you need to go get a, oh, but you don't want to miss out on having a honey-baked ham. And there's, you know, there's not just gifts under the tree. There's supposed to be stockings. And there's not just stockings. There's advent calendars. And it's not enough to have a little Hershey kiss in the advent calendar. I mean, do you see what people do these days? Don't go on Pinterest and check advent calendars. Please don't. Just like, what I want to do is create a list of all the things I actually am thinking about doing for the next, like, month and a half. And list making, I find, clear space in my head. Like, once it's on a piece of paper, especially when I do it physically, not, it, like, sometimes I type lists on my iPhone, and that doesn't give me the same satisfaction as, like, a piece of paper and blue ink and words written on it. What ink do you use? Some people, I know a lot of people like black ink, but I really love my blue ink pens, and they gotta be cheap pens. I forget if they're Bic or not, but I have my favorite pen. I don't want nice pens because those ink, like, just, it smears everywhere and it creates a mess. I want, like, the cheap ink because, like, it's just, it's like, permanent right away, and it's the thickness of the line I want. So anyway, making a list, and then, instead of me checking it twice, I'm going to give it to Nathan, and I'm going to let him call me out on the shit that I don't need to be doing. Like, every year I think I should be doing nice Christmas cards, and not just Christmas cards, but, like, personalized artwork. I shit you not. One year, a couple years ago, I printed photos, our family picture, and then I got blank cards, and then I had Pippa draw on every fucking card. I mean, this was just days and days. And it's fun, and we're a family that does art, and we love, I mean, I'm sitting at our art table right now. Our kitchen table is covered with, like, pink and orange paint and washi tape and, like, chips and little, like, blue flecks of I don't know what. And that's okay, that's who we are. But it has to be joyful, and there needs to be a freedom in it when it's like a requirement, like, I need you to make 40 more cards for me in the next 3 days, that it loses the joy and the fun. So I already know, I'm like, and I have to resist it. Like, I keep thinking, I keep, my head is just in this rut, Christmas cards, Christmas cards, Christmas cards. And I, you know, you got to remember, most traditions were started by someone looking to make a buck. You know, maybe they started out with the best intentions, you know, someone, families living far apart, and let's send each other cards, and we always send cards at Christmas, and it's so nice to get an update on what Marianne and Beth are doing with the twins. But now, I mean, there's so many companies, and they want to sell you, like, here's the card, and it's got, like, the photos on the front, and then more photos on the back, and hey, let's have, like, a gold foil, and then have an envelope, and there's a lining, and you upload your address book, and we'll do it all for you, and it can just create so much more expense, so much more work, and it, for me, it takes the joy out of it. Now, I'm not telling you, don't do Christmas cards. I'm telling you, make a list, get someone else's feedback on it, and then don't do the shit you don't want to do. Like, I don't want to do Christmas cards. I keep thinking I have to, but I don't want to do it. It's not going to give me any joy. I will put out a Christmas message on Facebook and Instagram. Maybe, you know, I have like a half dozen college friends who don't do social media. Bitches. And I would never say that. I would say that even when I had a good night's rest. I love the word bitch, don't you? Bitches. I love that word. And it'll be really exciting in about 10, 12 years when I can curse a little more freely in front of my children and say bitches, you know, not just when I'm on a podcast time, but like, you know, like I accidentally said badass in front of Pippa last week, and it was just us. And she had this way of pausing and getting really still and quiet, and she didn't ask me about it, But she just knew instinctively, mommy said something naughty. And I was there in the moment. I could feel her filing the moment away, partially filing the word away for her to trot out at probably the most embarrassing possible time, like at church in front of my in-laws or something. Not that we go to church with my in-laws, but you know what I mean. So she has filed the word away. She's also filed away the memory that mommy said it. And now I just get to wait and see how long. Maybe I'm overreacting. But it was like everything went into slow motion, kind of like badass. And I'm like, why did I just say badass in front of my 4.5-year-old? What are you doing? But that's how I speak. So not too many more years of like a totally clean mouth. But yeah, make your list and really be honest and realistic with yourself. Like, I love to bake, but, and my two kids love to bake, but let's be realistic. Am I going to be making gingerbread, cardamom, lavender scented, you know, decadent creations? No, like, we're going to make some sugar cookies. And I have this recipe for really good sugar cookies, but it's kind of one of those pain in the ass, like, 4 different stages recipes, you know, like mix these ingredients and put them in the fridge to chill and then mix these ingredients and then combine and then put in the, you know, there's like so many elaborate steps. It's like, I can't keep track of all that with 2 little kids who want to be involved. And look, if making the really complicated sugar cookies is what fills you up and you're getting enough sleep and you're doing okay and you have the momentum and you want to do that and that's what you want to do with like the free hour you get or the afternoon you get, go for it, okay? Go for it. But if it's just a drain or if it's more about for you baking with your children, then let the complicated recipes go because you'll be able to do those in 5 years, maybe even less. Life with my kids really gets astronomically easier. Every few months I look back and I'm like, oh shit, things are so much easier than they were, thank goodness. So, and I think it's easy to forget that. And that's why I love when my friends and family have newborns, because then I get to look back and be like, oh my gosh, it's ridiculous how far I've come. So look at your list and be like really honest with your expectations and realize that what you do this year is not like, it's not like this is exactly what Christmas is going to be like every year for the rest of your life. You can make sugar cookies this year. You can go to the grocery store. You don't even have to buy that pre-made Pillsbury loaf. You can buy plain sugar cookies and buy a thing of icing and buy some sprinkles and let your kids shit them up and you have the memories and you take a quick picture on your iPhone and you're done. You can really lower your expectations. I don't know what your expectations are, and you may not know what they are, but go do that dump and make that journal entry and then show it to your significant other and they or your mom or your sister or whoever is going to be really honest with you so that you can see like what is on your list. Like I need to put on my list the things in the back of my head, like get really cute outfits for the kids. And then my husband's going to look at that and be like, who cares what they're wearing? Or maybe I can, you know, relegate that to someone else. Like maybe, you know, if I show my list to my mom, she might say like, oh, it'd be really fun if I could go shopping for the kids to get them a Christmas outfit and then done. That's on her problem. But really my kids don't like to dress up fancy. Like Pippa will dress up fancy, but in a Peppa Pig pink dress that's covered in paint stains from Target. That's her idea of fancy. And I don't want to like put a crimple. That's not a word. Crimple is not a word. That's just not. But you know what? A crimp? Can I say a crimp? Can we make crimple a word? Ugh. It sounds like it should be a word. I don't want to put a burden. I'm so tired. I'm not coming up with the word. But I don't want to like add a negative layer to a day that should be joyful. I don't want. Julian does not want to wear a button-down shirt with a bow tie. It would be so cute. But he doesn't want to wear it. So why am I going to make him suffer on a day like Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve, which should be about fun and family and memories and eating good food and, you know, running around the house singing Christmas carols? Why should I be like, contaminate that memory with like scratchy, itchy shirt that he hates? So make that list and put the shit on it that you don't want to admit to yourself. Like, I really don't want to admit to myself that cute holiday outfit is on my list. But it is. And I need to, like, say that out loud and have Nathan look at me and be like, why are you going to spend $100 on something they're not even going to wear for a day and that they're going to grow out of in 5 minutes? You know, maybe I can go to Old Navy. Like, I can look at my things on my list and say, okay, I'm not going to Janie and Jack and spending a paycheck on clothes that my kids will hate, especially Pippa, because it has to be pink. And Christmas clothes are not pink. But I could go to Old Navy and get super cute and comfortable clothes for them there. There. Okay, I figured this out. Thank you for letting me do this podcast and figure this stuff out. So, yeah, but you, go make your list, figure it out, get someone else's input, and then look at your list and be like, you know, maybe you're allowed to go crazy on one thing, and then maybe you should, like, figure out ways that you can, and then you can look at your list as aspirational and be like, okay, these are my, like, my motherhood goals, but I have, like, you don't even have just 20 years to do motherhood goals. You have the rest of your life. And so, like, something I really love to do is I would love someday to make an elaborate gingerbread house. That's me. I'm a dork. I love doll houses, and I love things that are miniature and dioramas, and I love baking. So for me, one day to have, like, a whole weekend in December dedicated to making some, like, really, like, elaborate medieval gingerbread, like, castle would be so fun. Not this year. Not yet next year. But maybe this year, I'll get the box kit at Trader Joe's, and one for each kid so they don't fight, and we'll make those, and it'll be practice. And we'll talk about the houses we want to make in future years. And maybe in 5 years, we'll be up to actually baking our own gingerbread and making something slightly original. And then maybe when they're, you know, who knows, in high school, we might have this beautiful memory of being able to make, like, these really elaborate gingerbread houses together, but we don't have to go from 0 miles an hour to, you know, NASCAR winning, oh shit, I don't even know what the races are called in NASCAR, but you know what I mean, like winning the Gold Cup in some, like, you know, 100-lap race. Like, we can build up slowly, and we never have to be a champion at anything. You can take joy in stuff without being the best person in the world. We can, like, I had a friend in junior high whose dad was an elaborate baker, and for her, like, birthday in eighth grade, whatever year she turned, like, was she 13, 14? He made a cake that was, like, that number, vertical, and it was really cool. And, but he couldn't, I'm sure he didn't do that for her first birthday. Like, the first birthday, they were just celebrated. They probably cracked open some beers and were like, thank God we made it. She's won. So you can make out your goals, but then look at them and be like, okay, what is stupid? Like, for me, what is stupid is Christmas cards. Might be totally great for you. Airfry night to scrapbook and glitter and, like, craft the shit out of your Christmas cards, okay? You, only you know you. So you got to figure out what you need to do. And I can't have Christmas cards on my to-do list because it will pull down my overall mental health. So I am putting it on the aspirational list and then saying fuck you and crossing it off and taking it off the list. So you need to make your list and you need to say what is actually someone else's list. Like, that's it. Christmas cards is not even aspirational for me. It is someone else's to-do item that I have felt like I have to do this. And there is no have to do about the holidays. It's the holidays. It's supposed to be something you enjoy and that inspires, like, love and harmony and joy. And if I'm doing Christmas cards is making me a crankier person and making me a crankier mom and a crankier human being, what fucking good am I doing anyone? So look at your to-do list for the holidays and say, this is not even my to-do item. This is my mom's. This is my mother-in-law's. This is my best friend's. This is that blogger I used to read. This is Instagram's idea. This is Pinterest's. God, take that shit off the list and, you know, goodbye. Throw it off. Maybe some other day. You can do these lists. You can just do this every year if you want to. But not this year, okay? No, Satan. Not this year. And then you can look at things on your list and see what is aspirational and how can I incorporate this into our tradition maybe this year if it works out, but in a lower key manner. So yeah, my aspirational is crazy, wicked, like, 5-story gingerbread castle. Okay, not happening this year. Trader Joe kits, a lot more realistic. So look at your list and see what you can do. While you're looking at your list, listen to your gut. Like, your gut, it really knows what's best. So if your head is saying Christmas cards and your gut is going, listen to your gut and do what works for you. All right, totally other piece, random piece of advice. You don't need good photos. Somewhere along the line, And, you know, I can blame social media and digital photography all I want, but getting the photo seems to be more important than having the mere memory and experience. Me and Nathan went out, we were having a nice dinner, and there was a family, a big family, at a table next to us, and they were all had their phones out, and they were all ignoring each other, 10 people ignoring each other through the course of a really expensive seafood dinner, all heads buried in their phones. Then they got their heads out of their phones, and they all gathered and posed, and they smiled and acted like, you know, they were the most insanely happy family for a big picture. And, you know, that shit got posted all over Facebook and all over Instagram, and people were seeing it and, like, oh, so jealous of the, you know, the Smith clan and this amazing dinner they clearly had, when really, they weren't even talking to each other. They were not having a shared experience. They all just happened to be sitting at the same table while they were looking at their phones, doing whatever they were doing. So, but they got the photo. Well, you can see I'm a little biased here. I don't think the photo is the important part. I think it's put the phone away and engage with people. It's about, you know, human experience. We're not supposed to be hermits isolated on mountains for, you know, decades on end. We're supposed to be building relationships with our loved ones, with our family and friends. So don't put getting a good photo above actually having the experience, because that can make you nuts. And just the idea of having, I need to get good photos on your mental to-do list, it just is like, it seeps away the energy. It's kind of like your energy is a bucket. And just the idea that you need to get these perfect photos that will, like, get the most likes on Instagram, it's like taking a nail and nailing a bunch of holes into your bucket, so and you've turned your bucket into a colander, and your energy is just steadily draining away no matter what you do. So I'm telling you, don't just take it off your to-do list about getting good photos. Take some photos, but you're allowed to have crap photos, especially those of you who have postpartum depression right now. Like, hello, who cares what the photos look like? Just worry about getting yourself better. And it's more important to sit and snuggle with your baby than to, like, spend 3 hours, you know, trying to get your baby into that perfect, like, red velvet dress that you know they're going to spit up on, and trying to get the light, and then, like, stressing because your house is messy so there's no, like, cute spot to take photos. Don't worry about that. Like, it's okay to not get good photos this year. It's okay to not get good photos next year. I do like to try to make a photo calendar for our family, and that tends to be everyone's Christmas gift. And this year I'm being kind of lazy about it and just using whatever photos I've uploaded to Instagram. I'm not worrying about looking through all the photos I've taken over the year. But, you know, I'd like to have Christmas photos on the December page of our calendar. I don't have Christmas photos. I've barely taken any over the past couple of years since Julian was born and when Pippa was born. It's like the first year, Pippa's first Christmas, we got a few pictures of us wearing, like, corny Santa hats in front of the tree, and they were all selfies. They were not good photos, but, like, who cares? 2 years ago, I think I got a photo of newborn Julian, you know, not even 2 months old, being held by a Santa at Pippa's preschool. I did not get any Santa photos of Pippa that year because she would have just screamed. Last year, my only quote-unquote good photo is Pippa being held on Santa's lap, screaming like a comet is hurtling towards him. So, you know, and my life is no worse. I was like, oh, okay, so we don't have a ton of good Christmas photos. Oh, well, we'll just, you know, I'll just use these other photos for December. So my life is no worse for not having good photos. If I have a moment this year where it actually works out that I have, like, my parents around and we're at the mall and there's a cute, like, Christmas tree, yeah, I probably will try to get the kids to stand in front of it so I can be like, I have a good Christmas photo. It would be nice, but it's not a requirement, and I'm not even going to put it on the list. No, I will put it on the list, and then I will show the list to Nathan, and Nathan will say, you're stupid. Who cares if you get a cute photo? Because I get cute photos of my kids all year long, and I get really good candid shots of my kids and of them laughing and smiling or, like, being busy and doing things. And those pictures really tell stories. So I'm not going to worry about getting those posed photos because I'm not good at getting them. So why am I going to make myself crazy? Maybe someone else is going to get a really good photo of my kids this year. Who knows? So anyway, if depending on, you know who you are, you know where you are in your life, but just getting good photos is not a requirement. It's get good sleep. Don't lose sleep over photos. Don't be up crafting like some special sign for your kid to be holding on Christmas Day while they open their gifts. Don't lose sleep over that. Get your sleep. Okay. I think I've covered basically everything I wanted to say. I'm just tired. I'm looking over my list to make sure. Two more pieces of advice, or kind of three, but okay. This book that we just got into, the Llama Llama books by Anna Dewdney, and I love them. And we've read only once, but we loved Llama Llama Holiday Drama, and I would highly recommend that book if you like picture books. It was all about, like, Llama Llamas getting all swept up into the holiday frenzy and all the decorations and the toys for sale and the gifts and all the expectation, and he just goes crazy. And then Mama's like, oh, Llama Llama, I'm sorry. It's about us and being together. It's not about all these things. And it was like a great reminder for slowing down and spending time together and not getting whipped into a frenzy by all the commercialized expectations of the holidays. So it was just a really sweet read. And if you were looking for, I love holiday books. I love books. And so that is something I'm going to allow myself to do. Like, I love to read Christmas books with my kids. They love to sit in my lap and read. We're a family that reads. So I went crazy and bought a bunch more books off our Scholastic Book Flyer order this past week. And I fully, you know, intend to set up a box that's filled with holiday books and to just enjoy reading them. But if you like holiday books, in addition to all those 12 Days of Christmas and, you know, the True Christmas Story books and, you know, Pete the Cat Saves Christmas. I hate that one. Ugh. But Llama Llama Holiday Drama, I would recommend, you know, getting it and having it on standby. And it's a great reminder for you to slow down. And I thought it was good for my mental health, so maybe you would enjoy it too. Then maybe things are going to get chaotic over the holidays. Maybe someone's going to get sick. Maybe you're going to have, like, the flight that gets canceled so that you're suddenly stuck at home instead of meeting the family in Maui. Just remember, you're allowed to get annoyed, but also a little chaos makes for a good story. One of my favorite Christmas stories is the year that my sister got sick and my dad and brother and I, and it was raining, pouring rain. And so me and my dad and brother went out to see a movie while my poor sister and mom stay home sick. And we get to the mall and all of the movies were sold out. Like, there wasn't a single movie we could see. And I think we were planning on eating popcorn for lunch. So instead of seeing a movie in the pouring rain while my sister's sick, we ended up at, like, McDonald's eating, you know, burgers and fries, which is just not ideal on Christmas. But it makes for a funny story. And now on years when we're all healthy, it's like, yeah, you remember that year we were at McDonald's and it was pouring rain and it was just a totally miserable, shitty Christmas. So it wasn't a great Christmas at that moment, but it does make for a good story and it does make for good comparison in other years. So just when chaos comes, when plans get ruined, it's okay. Like, that's life, and that's what creates memories. And, you know, the stories I have about my friends and family, often the best stories are the moments that are really shitty at the time, but you get through them, and then you can see the hilarity in them and the aftermath. So my final tip is just remember there's always next year. This might be the year that everyone gets sick. This really could be the year that someone has pneumonia, or that, you know, you just all have these miserable head colds that last for 3 weeks and won't go away. It happens. Christmas is in December. And, I mean, people get sick all year long, so why wouldn't they get sick around Christmas? Like, this could be my family's year to all be down with the flu. Like, even though we got our flu shots, we might get some weird strain that they didn't catch, and then we're all out for the count. Who knows? It's just the day. It's just a holiday. It'll happen again next year. And you are allowed to move it around at your own will. I mean, yeah, it's more ideal to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day, but who cares if you celebrate it on January 5th or on December 14th? Like, you just got to do what works for you. Remember that your mental health is the priority here. This is my postpartum depression show, and I know I didn't really talk about postpartum depression that much, but it was in the back of my mind when I was coming up with all these tips that I don't want you to get swept away by the holidays. I don't want you to just be adding something new to your life. Motherhood is difficult. and it's messy and it's challenging and it's constantly changing. Trying to add in Christmas and trying to do it perfectly, it can be a bit crazy, and it could be something that harms your mental health, and you really need to keep that a priority. Get your sleep. Get eating, three healthy meals a day, or, five of those mini meals a day, doing what you need to do. If you have to go get paper plates and, throw away cutlery to get through December, do it. Don't let Christmas be an excuse to make your life more difficult than it needs to be. If you have a newborn, if you're dealing with postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD, any of those things, your life is difficult enough as it is. So just do what you need to do to feel your best. And, keep reminding yourself that most traditions were created by someone wanting to make a buck. You don't have to have a Christmas tree this year. Your kids are not going to be forever scarred. You could make a tree out of butcher paper or out of a bunch of sheets of construction paper taped together and put it on the wall. You're allowed to do that. If you have a 2-year-old who is insane and climbs everything, hello, I'm talking about myself here. This is something we're going to have to figure out. Like, can we do a Christmas tree or can we not? But you know what? I heard the door open, and so Julian is awake from nap time, and I think I've been talking about holidays enough here. So just remember to love yourself and go easy on yourself and be kind on yourself as Thanksgiving approaches, and we don't have to get swept away by the holiday season. We can really do what works best for us. Postpartum depression is an incredibly lonely and isolating illness. You are not alone. There are thousands of women who have had this before you, and there are thousands of women who have it now. You can and will make a full recovery, and you did nothing to bring this on yourself. You didn't deserve this. You're not a bad mom because of it. It has nothing to do with you as a person. It's just something that happened, and you can and you'll get through it, and I'm rambling now because I'm tired, and we're probably all a little tired, and let's work on getting our sleep and not worrying about the holidays. I love you, and hope you have a great week. I was actually lingering on this ending because I was hoping Julian would emerge and you could hear him do his sleepy, like, post-nap hello, but I think he's doing, like, a little alone time sitting somewhere, and then he's going to show up and surprise me. So maybe next time. All right. Have a good week.